this town, in these parts, there aren't too many folks doing this. But we are. All right, let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us to this season of lights and miracles, this time of great deliverance of your people Israel. And if you didn't deliver your people Israel, you wouldn't deliver your people church. Hallelujah. So we just thank you that we win no matter what, no matter who attacks us, no matter how they try to destroy us, they lose. And we're just grateful, Lord, for that. And we thank you for this service tonight. We commit it into your hands. And we ask, Lord, that you would come and lead us. Take this, take it away, Lord. Take it from me. Take it from us. Have your way now. In the name of Yeshua, we bind the strong man. And we just welcome you here. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Up a little bit.
Me, beloved, the hope of Israel, come to you. And the Lord has spoken his will.
Me, beloved, the hope of Israel.
Blessings of the lighting of the menorah. So, Diane, would you like to light the menorah?
Sure.
Oh, you already lit it? Okay, I'll sing the blessings. Baruch Ataronai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvotav Etzivanu Lehadlik Nir Shel Chanukah. Amen. Baruch Ataronai Eloheinu Melech Haolam She'asa Nisim Lavoteinu Bayamim Ha'ahem Bazman Hazeh. And the first one was, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to light the Hanukkah lights. And the second prayer was, blessed are you, O Lord our God, who has brought us...
into the season at this time.
I'm hearing seven voices, several voices. Somebody know it? Who has brought us to this season, right? Well, that's it. You've brought us to this season, Lord, and that's what we thank you for. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I know it better in Hebrew than I do in English. Okay, now we sing Ma Otsor.
Zor Yeshua Ti Ana Elishabea Young Todan is a bea, yet a feed not bea, eats or hung a bea. As a more, the sheer is more, a new hung is bea. As a more, the sheer.
Meant to be. Do I tell the Hanukkah story, or do we read? Do the readings? We read. Okay. Who'd like to read Isaiah 61 through 7? Anybody raise your hand if you'd like to read.
I can.
Okay. And then if somebody else would like to read Daniel 9, 25 through 27. Anybody? Any other volunteers? Daniel 9, 25 through 27. Daniel 9, 25 through 20. This is like bingo. Through 27. That's okay. That's okay.
Thank you. Okay, ready? Isaiah 60.
And then the third reading is John 10, 22 and 23. Well, let's give somebody else a chance, Diane. If nobody else wants to, then... Okay. You want to read that one? All right. So, Diane, why don't you start us with Isaiah 61 through 7? And then somebody get a... Who's reading Daniel 9?
I think it's
Carol. So, Carolyn, would somebody get a Carolyn a mic so when she's ready to go...
Okay,
Britt's getting a mic. Do you want him to get that mic? Yeah, just bring it. Is the light on? Okay, there's a button on the bottom. You just turn it on and bring it to Carolyn, please.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, the wealth of the nations will come to you, a multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come, they will bring forth gold and frankincense, and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. The rams of Naboth will minister to you. They will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house.
Amen. Okay, Carolyn, would you like to read Daniel 9, 25 through 27?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Amen. All right. Now who's going to read John 10, 22 through 23? Carol.
Yes. Just a minute. Fix the microphone. Okay.
Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Amen.
Hey, Rabbi.
Yeah.
The pamphlet.
Okay.
Can I read the story of the Hanukkah on what Don has printed here?
Yeah, sure.
Hanukkah means dedication. In Hebrew and is a celebration of God's faithfulness and deliverance. The event it celebrates took place in approximately 165 BC. Antiochus tried to force the Jews to accept Greek culture, even to defiling the temple by offering a pig on the altar and erecting a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies. This was the first abomination of desolation, prophesied by Daniel 11, 31 through 32. Finally, the Jews revolted against overwhelming odds and drove out the Greeks in 165 BC. They cleansed the temple and lit the menorah. Although the oil was only enough for one day, it miraculously burned for 8 days. Yeshua, Jesus, went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Dedication, and while in the temple area, he proclaimed his divinity. I and the Father are one. John 10:30. Today, Hanukkah is celebrated with a 9-branch candelabra. 8 of them recall the 8 days the oil miraculously burned, while the 9th is the servant candle used to light the others. Hanukkah celebrates one of the many deliverances of the Jewish people from those who would try again and again to destroy God's covenant people. In spite of the Holocaust and the pogroms in Russia, the Lord's people are alive today and back in their own land. Pray for God to deliver his people again and breathe his spirit into their revived bodies, fully restoring them to himself.
guess we're going to do the worship now. Just get my bass on.
Sevivon?
No, it's Psalm 30.
Oh, sorry. I don't think I'm... Sorry.
It's okay. We can do the track.
I didn't know we were going to do that first. I do know this song, yes.
But you don't know Kumiori. Do you know Shimcha Kadosh?
Yes.
Okay. What would you like to do?
We can do Psalm 30.
Okay.
So we'll do, sorry.
We're going to do Psalm 30 without the track? Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't matter. However you want.
Okay. Well, then why don't we just go through the tracks because you've got them.
Go ahead, please.
Yep.
I will exalt you, oh Lord, for you have lifted me up. Call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night. For you have shown mercy to me. So I will dance. You have shown mercy to me. My heart will. Rejoice, joy, joy, you have shown mercy.
you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's a beautiful song.
It is. Amen. Shimcha Kadosh.
Shimcha Kadosh, O Elyon, Ata Gibor, O Sar Shalom, Becha Efta, Ata Donaya, tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, which is the only new holiday mentioned in the New Testament. No other holiday is named. The funny thing about this holiday is that it's in the what's considered to be the Christian Bible, but yet Jews mostly celebrate it and Christians don't. Explain that one to me if you can. That's a rhetorical question. So anyhow, I'm just going to have some announcements for you. There's a Messianic
conference. First of all, I just want to address the shooting that took place in Australia, where 16 or 19 Jewish people were murdered from age 10 to 87 years old. A Holocaust survivor was murdered, and someone from the October 7th massacre was there but survived the shooting. A 10-year-old boy was killed, or child was murdered, and at least 30 other people are in the hospital, some in critical condition from the shooting. Yes, we need to pray for them. So let's pray for them now. Father, we just lift up those who are fighting for their lives in the hospital, and we pray for miraculous healing and recovery for those people who were shot, who had done nothing but gathered to celebrate a holiday. We thank you, Lord. We just pray for your intervention in their lives, and that they would seek you and come to know you in this, because they weren't believers. For the most part, they were Orthodox Jews. So we just pray that through this ordeal that they would seek you, and through the terror of it, they would come to know you and ask you to reveal yourself to them. And Father, we are seeing, I found out today that there were over 2,000 anti-Semitic incidents in Australia in the last year, and they allow the people to protest with Palestinian flags and chants and marches. And when you do that, and our government and the Israeli government called them out on this and said, you've done nothing to protect the Jewish people, and this was bound to happen because you've done nothing to guard or safeguard the Jewish population of your country, and this was the result, and now they're acting like, you know, we've got to protect the Jewish people, and all racism is bad, and we can't tolerate it, and all that, and they're giving all this, like they're making themselves sound wonderful, but really they've done nothing for the Jewish people, as the Jewish people have gone through persecution, backed by Iran, backed by Hamas, backed by radical Islamic funds. Folks, there's 2 billion Muslims in the world. Some say 1 billion want to kill you. If that's 50%, if even 10% of the 2 billion want to kill you, that's 200 million people that want to kill you. And they want to kill me, and they want to kill Jews, and they want to kill Christians. They have no use for any infidel, anyone who doesn't believe that in Allah, their so-called God is an enemy to them, is an infidel, according to their book. And the book tells them to kill the infidel. So it's just a matter of time before not only do they attack Jews, but they're already attacking Christians as well. And Christians are being persecuted in Europe. I don't know if you know this, but Christians are being horribly persecuted throughout Europe and attacked by Muslims. This is coming here. We're not going to escape this. It's not going to go away unless we do something about it, but we're not. We just roll over and go back to sleep and wait for the next attack. Nobody does anything. Nobody with the power to do anything does anything, except maybe Donald Trump. And when he does something, half the country fights him for it. I thank God for him. As many say, we don't deserve him, but we really don't deserve him. We are, he really has the people's he has good in his goodwill, good in his heart. He may not be a perfect man, and he may have a foul mouth, but he has good in his heart, and the hatred towards him is demonic. This Trump derangement syndrome is just anything associated with him it's a demonic hatred that makes no sense whatsoever. He's made peace with 8 countries, and between Rwanda and some other country and Nigeria and between he's made 8 different, between Azerbaijan and Albania or something. He's made peace through all over the world. He's making peace, and they don't care. The left, they would rather see the United States fail than to see Donald Trump succeed. They would rather see, and right now we're fighting drug cartels, and I'll just say this, fishermen don't drive speedboats with 400 horsepower outboard engines, not just one engine, but 400 horsepower or 300 horsepower engines on the back of a boat. That's not a fishing boat. That is a high-speed bullet meant to move exceedingly fast across the water and bring drugs to the Keys, where they go into the mangroves at night. And the mangroves are trees that grow on the water, and they go into the mangroves where they're met by drug smugglers, and they empty the cargo, and then the boats turn around and go back to Venezuela and get more drugs, and they bring them into this country. And how many of you know someone who's been died of fentanyl poisoning? I know one person or two, and I know of 3 or 4, that I've heard of, that I am through another person, but I know personally 1 or 2. How many of you know of someone or know someone who died of fentanyl poisoning? Raise your hand. Mary? Anybody else? Joyce? Well, that's a few people. I'm sure you probably know more people than you think you do, or people in your family know someone that died of fentanyl poisoning. It's killing hundreds of thousands of Americans, particularly young people, are dying. So President Trump is trying to stop it. But it's, it doesn't make any sense, because when we bombed the Taliban, remember on TV they would show the drones at night, and they'd show the Taliban gathering, or they'd show convoys of the Taliban in Afghanistan or in Iraq, and they'd show these bad guys at night, and then they'd show the drone would unleash a rocket and it would blow up the caravan, or would blow up the gathering of people. Did you ever hear a complaint about it? Did you ever hear CBS or ABC or MSNBC complaining about blowing up Arab terrorists when Barack Obama was doing it, or Hillary Clinton or any of those people? No, you never heard a thing about it. Not a thing. But now you see them, they blow up a drug boat full of drugs. It's not a fishing boat. There's no fishing gear. I haven't seen one fishing rod. When I've looked at the pictures, I haven't seen a single fishing rod, Joyce. No nets. They're speedboats packed with drugs in every compartment. And that's what they're doing, and they're up to no good. Their goal is to kill Americans, and they need to be stopped, but It's a demonic war. We war not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of darkness in high places. Amen. And so people have been, there's great deception. And if you get a chance to read Jonathan Cahn's book, The Return of the Gods, and The Avatar, you will see that the gods are coming back. And Jonathan Cahn's premise in the book The Return of the Gods is that, based on the scripture, where the man is cleansed of a demon, but you know, when his house is empty, his body is empty, the demon comes back with seven more worse demons. And that's what's happening in our culture. And if you look at the culture of Diana in the Bible, the whole community, when Paul went to confront them about Diana of the Ephesians, the whole community was making a living building idols of Diana. And they were making a living off of Diana, and he was preaching against it, and they beat him within an inch of his life. And some say he died and rose from the dead. They stoned him and they threw him out of the city. And some say that he actually died and rose from the dead. I don't know. I can't confirm that. But he was very badly wounded. And, you know, that is when the pagan gods take over a whole community. They take over a whole community, and everybody falls under the spell of the false god. And it's happening here in America, and it's happened in Europe, and the police stand there and they twiddle their thumbs, and the crimes take place, and nobody does anything. It's crazy. They fight ICE. The police are fighting ICE in cities like, you know, Chicago and Portland and so forth. They have, the police are fighting the federal government. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm getting off track, but I want to give announcements. So, but the point I'm making is that we cannot fear. We cannot stop having services. We cannot stop celebrating our holidays. It's what they want us to do. They want us to be afraid. They want us to stop doing what we're doing. This service was advertised on television to tens of thousands of people who watch my television show, but I don't know that any of them came. This was sent out in emails to several thousand people, but you don't see them here to learn about Hanukkah, the holiday that Jesus celebrated at this time of the year. This is his holiday, and I'm going to talk about it when I do my sermon. But meanwhile, so this week it starts tonight, and on December 19th through 21st is the Southeast Conference of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America in Florida at the Rosen Plaza. It's going to be a blast. My sons are going. Joshua and Isaac are going down there together, and they're rooming together. And they're going to be part of the young adult group, and they're going to have a great time together with the young adults. I'm not going because I have to have an endoscopy on Thursday, and then I have to have a MRI on Tuesday, and I can't travel. I can't, just too much to travel and do all these medical tests in between. So I'm not going. I'd like to go, but I will go to the rabbis' conference next month in January, which is just a couple weeks later. So I still get to go to a conference and see the rabbis. So that's coming up. I want to mention our prophecy conference. I just got good news yesterday. We're having a prophecy conference in June 12th and 13th. It'll be at the Meadowview Conference, Marriott Conference Center in Kingsport. And our special guest will be Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. As I've mentioned him, The Return of the Gods and Avatar. He also has written The Dragon's Prophecy and The Josiah Manifesto and The Harbinger and several other books that he's written. And he's fascinating to listen to. He's a fantastic speaker. And he's coming to our conference. We're also having internationally known television host and author Jonathan Bernis, Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, who's on Daystar and TBN, will be coming. And he's the bald guy. And he'll be coming and speaking. He's Jonathan, I know very well, fairly well. And he's a man of great integrity. He's a man of great character. And he's a man with a powerful ministry of evangelism and medical ministry. He does medical missions around the world. And I've arranged with the Kingsway Charities Organization to provide him with hundreds of thousands of dollars of medicine and medical supplies for his medical missions around the world. And so all he has to do is come here and see them and see what he needs and then sign some paperwork, and it'll be shipped to him. So either he can wait till June or he can come and get his medicine sooner if he would like. But anyhow, what the good news is, Marty Goetz had dropped out because we were originally going to do the conference in January. But when we moved it to June, Marty Goetz dropped out because he had plans to go with his wife to go to Paris, to go to France. But they canceled their plans, so now Marty Goetz is going to be playing at our conference. So we have Marty Goetz and Misha Goetz. We gets Marty and we gets Misha, and we gets them both, and we're getting Kol Echad, and we're getting Jonathan Kahn, and then Jonathan Bernis, and then yours truly will be speaking, and I'll be emceeing the conference. That's going to be a wonderful event, and I'm sure we'll have security. We'll probably have half of the Sullivan County Sheriff's Department there. Doing security. I'm sure it'll be a very, very secure event. One thing I can tell you for sure, plan on having a see-through bag. If you're going to bring a bag in, plan on having it be a clear see-through bag, plastic, and not any, don't bring in backpacks or anything. But we'll be advertising in February heavily. We'll start advertising on TV and radio. And so the conference will start letting people know, and registration will open up. Kingsway, I'm working with Kingsway to they're going to handle the marketing and so forth and everything. So and the registration we're handling, it's for Zion's Sake Ministries Prophecy Conference. So it's our conference, and they're funding it, they're supporting it. Yes, praise the Lord for that. It's a big conference. So that's one thing I want to mention. Also, Rebbetzin Dawn has her discipleship group called The Flower Garden. And yesterday I had three ladies testify, raise their hand that they endorse it and think it's a wonderful discipleship group. And there's at least five to seven people that are part of the Flower Garden on Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. So if you're interested in joining, just contact our ministry, go to our website and email, or call us, and Don will call you back. It's on Zoom. And so anybody interested who's not in the group and would like to be part of Don's discipleship class, just
contact the, go to the website and contact the ministry and let it be known that you want to be in the discipleship group, and she'll tell you how to do it. Okay, we have calendars. This is that time of year when giving calendars is a very popular thing. And as I asked on television, what is the $64 question? And the $64 question is that if you buy three calendars for $60 plus $4 shipping, that's $64. Then you ask yourself, who do I give three calendars to? That's the $64 question. So buy three calendars for $64, and we'll ship them to you. Or if you're here tonight, you can get them. Well, you can just get them here, and you don't even have to pay for shipping, and give them to your friends who like to study the Bible and learn biblical dates, because the dates in the Bible are not the same calendar as our calendar, the Western, you know, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and so forth. So, for example, here in December, there's Hanukkah, and, you know, is in pink. There's a Hanukkah menorah, and so it's an artwork calendar from Israel. These are from Israel, and if you'd like to know biblical holidays and learn about them, there's teaching, there's in the back, there's teaching on the feasts, there's Hebrew if you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet. There's all kinds of, the Torah portions are all here. I use it as it's indispensable to me for my teaching. And it's just, I never leave home without it. It's like American Express. Don't leave home without it. Okay. If you'd like to sign up for my news, there's so many good things that you can do here. You can sign up for my teaching newsletter. This month is Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And I send out about 8 newsletters a year, and they're not newsletters, they're teachings. They really are teachings. No, they're not just solicitations for money. I really teach. And so if you'd like to be on our mailing list and receive my teaching letter, just sign up, go to the website. You're on it if you're watching on video online tonight. You can sign up online, and we'll send this to you either by snail mail or by email, whichever you choose. I think that's, my TV show. Yes, I have a TV show called Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joe. And it's on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, at Tuesdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Living Faith Television, or you can go to livingfaithtv.com. You can watch it live stream at livingfaithtv.com, Tuesday nights at 8, Thursday nights at 7 Eastern Standard Time, or you can watch it on Roku. If you go to the Living Faith box on Roku, same time, same bat channel, Roku channel. And the other thing, you can watch it on Rumble as well. So you have 3 ways to watch it, 4 ways actually, because if you live here, you can get it on your local Channel 8, I believe. So there's 4 ways, yes, on cable you can watch it. So Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joe. Watch my show and learn prophecy. Study prophecy with me, okay? And so now we're going to take up our tithes and offerings, and I'm going to pray. And if you'd like to give, folks online, all you have to do is hit the donate button. And since we're at the end of the year, if you'd like to make an end-of-the-year donation and support Israel, you're supporting Israel by supporting this ministry. This ministry is a very fruitful ministry.
We have raised millions of dollars to help clothe the poor in Israel, and helped build the largest humanitarian aid ministry in Israel, run by Messianic Jews and Christians. So it's called the Joseph Project. So if you, I believe God will bless you for supporting this ministry. And for folks in the room, there's a box in the back, and there's also a basket for alms for the needy. If you have some spare change that you'd like to give. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you, Lord, that we can never outgive you, Lord. People think misguidedly that they can skip worship and skip worship. And what I learned, Lord, is when I owned my business was to close on Saturdays. And I that was the busiest day of the week when I owned my business. And I lost a lot of business by closing on Saturdays. But you know what happened? I opened on Sunday, and all the church crowds started coming. It took a couple years, but when they started coming, the place packed out. And Sundays at the Manna Bagel Company became the busiest day of the week. And we did 10 times more business on Sundays than we ever did on a Saturday. Really did. 10 times more business. So if you follow God's commandments and his instructions, he will bless you. Yes. Amen. So I pray the Lord blesses the giver and blesses the gift 100-fold, and that you obey his commandments and never forsake the gathering together or think that by skipping worship that you're going to make more money than by not worshiping. You'll always do better when you follow the Lord's ways than when we try to do it our own way. Hallelujah. May God bless you as you give. Mary, would you play a song for us? Just play music, it's fine. Chopin, Mozart, Rachmaninoff, Bach. Go for it.
And every eye will see
prefer the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, high, high, here Jerusalem waits, praises lifted on high. Here the beautiful gates long to see you arise. When all of Zion sings Baruch Haba B'Shem. When all of Zion sings Baruch Haba B'Shem. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, high, Adonai, high. You are Lord over all the earth. 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 Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, high, high, Adonai, high, Adonai, high, Adonai.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. So, Josh, what was the title I gave you? Hanukkah. Tonight's message is Hanukkah, God's victory over evil every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray as Josh sets up the Facebook cameras. I'm going to pray for the word tonight. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and thank you for the word tonight, and ask that you would anoint me and empty me of Joe. Fill me with your message for the people. And Lord, I pray in Yeshua's name. And also I pray, Lord, that you would anoint our ears and our eyes and hearts to see, our spiritual eyes to see, and our hearts to receive your word, and let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. So, Diane, could you take the Hanukkah away from the table and put candles in it for me? I might have you light it, like right over there, and then put it over there. All the whole thing, yeah. And so anyhow, okay, shalom, friends on Facebook. Is it on, Josh? Yeah. Shalom, everybody. This is Rabbi Joe, and you know, there's an old saying about the Jewish people. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Amen. They tried to kill us. Let's all say that. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Amen. That's what we do. And if you read the Battle of Gog and Magog, they tried to kill us. We won. And then God threw a big feast. And that's the pattern of every Jewish holiday. And if the uncircumcised heathen of the world would just read the Bible, and if they would just look at history, at Hitler and all the people who've attacked the Jews, and where are they now? The Greeks, the Babylonians, the Romans, and the Persians, all the people who've tried to kill the Jews, and they looked at history and asked themselves, where are those people now? Where are the Canaanites? Where are the Amalekites? Where are the Jebusites? Where are the Moabites? They're gone. They don't exist as nations anymore. They've been destroyed, decimated, wiped off the face of the earth, and that is the fate of every nation that attempts to attack and destroy God's people, and yet they keep doing it, and they're still trying, mostly backed by Iran. But I'm going to share a scripture with you in Jeremiah 30 verse 10. If you want to go there, you can, or I can just read it. Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, Jacob being the 12 tribes of Israel, and have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. So Israel will not be unpunished, but every nation besides Israel will be utterly destroyed, including this one. Because it says every nation where God scattered the Jewish people, and America is one of those nations. Now, if you think that by killing the Jews in your country is going to save you from God's wrath, You're mistaken. And you know, I hear this a lot from Christians. They say, we're not appointed to wrath. Well, you weren't appointed to hell either, but you chose it. Not many people, not believers and true believers and worshipers of Jesus Christ aren't going to hell, but many people choose to go to hell. Hell was not created for mankind. It was created for Satan and his minions, but men chose to go there. And if you think that the wrath of God is something that you can't choose as well, you're mistaken. You can choose God's wrath. And just as you can choose hell, you can choose to experience the wrath of God if you don't obey and you don't do what God is trying to tell you to do to save your life. And if you think you'll be spared the wrath of God, but yet you might go to hell, you know, you're fooling yourself. You know, God's not going to spare you his wrath if you're living, call yourself a Christian, and you're having an affair with your secretary, and you have a wife and kids on, and you're hiding it from your wife, you're probably going to hell. but you know, even if you go to church on Sunday, you know, church isn't going to save you. Amen? Messianic synagogue isn't going to save you. Just because you go to church, just because you sit in a church on Sunday or a synagogue on Saturday isn't going to save you from the fires of hell if you don't live righteously following the Lord and forsaking evil. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm here tonight to talk about Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is a story where it's a foreshadow of the Antichrist. So let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as most people, when they talk about the Antichrist, even though it doesn't say Antichrist there, they go to 2 Thessalonians 2. So let's go there. In verse 4, it says, or verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, the day of the Lord, unless the falling away comes first." So there's going to be a great falling away. People talk about a great end time revival. But you know what I see in the Bible? I see a great falling away. I see the elect being deceived in Matthew 24. I see a great deception of the believers more than I see a revival. Do you know that? That's what I see. Now, maybe there'll be revivals in little areas and pockets, and maybe there's been some revival with Charlie Kirk, but I'm not seeing this great national world revival because Charlie Kirk was shot. I thought we would, but we're not. It's not really exploding, is it? You know, people thought it would, but God says in the end of days that even the elect will be deceived. And he says in Matthew 24, and he says here, right here in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that there's going to be a great falling away of the believers. And then the man of sin. It says, "Let no one deceive you," verse 3, "by any means, that for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So the day of the Lord isn't coming until the man of sin is revealed, and there's a great falling away of the believers who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, that's the Antichrist. And he, think about this for a moment. Why would the Antichrist choose to go to the temple of God in Jerusalem and set himself up as God? Now, the Hanukkah story is all about this. It's a foreshadow, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, the story. But I want to talk about the Antichrist for a minute. Why would the Antichrist choose to go to Israel, of all the countries on the earth, where he could, spend his 3.5 years and set himself up as God in the temple, in this new temple they're going to build there? They're getting ready to build it right now. The Anthony, they're pretty close, aren't they, to building that Antichrist temple, aren't they? They're about to build it. In fact, when I went to Israel, the menorah used to be out right near the Western Wall. It's not there anymore. They moved it. For some reason, I think they're getting ready to actually, you know, do something to build it. So so praise the Lord, hallelujah. The Antichrist, why does he pick Israel of all the places? Is it possible that that with all the anti-Semitism in Europe and in Australia and in America, and with all the division between the left and the right and the conservatives and the Democrats and the liberals and the Republicans and so forth, that is it possible that peace, that Donald Trump will go back to the Middle East and defeat Iran, which is the troublemaker, and go back and destroy their nuclear weapons? Do you know that the oil tanker that we just commandeered from Venezuela, was destined for Iran? Why? Why was it going to Iran? Because Iran needs money to fund terrorism. And Nicolas Maduro, the prime minister of a president of Venezuela, the dictator, is trying to support terrorism in the world because he's a scumbag. Okay? He's a dirtbag. And he's trying to, he was sending that tanker to Iran, but we took it. And we're going to take the oil. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. Now, the Antichrist, I'm going to tell you why he chooses Israel. Because what's going to happen is United States, Donald Trump is going to go back to Iran. And I was asked about my trip to Israel. One of the things I found out was that the Israeli people on the street were telling me, people in the know, I talked to IDF officers, I talked to regular people, and one of the things they told me was they expect to continue to war with Hamas. They don't expect Hamas to lay down their weapons. They said there's 100 to 150,000 rockets in Lebanon again. The beating they took. Remember the pagers that blew up and blew up all the Hamas leadership and all the leaders of Hamas, not Hamas, Hezbollah were blown up, and even the chief guy Nasrallah was blown up and killed, and they killed all these people. But they're stupid enough to get more rockets, and they think they're going to defeat Israel. They're not going to defeat Israel. Israel knows, the Mossad is so smart. They know where this stuff is, and they will wipe it. The Bible says Lebanon's going to be wiped off the map, and so is Damascus, by the way. Damascus and Lebanon, it says it in the Bible. Lebanon's going to be wiped off the map, and they're causing it. They're bringing it about. Gaza's going to be given to Judah. It's going to be farmland. There's going to be no cities in Gaza. It's going to be given farmland given to Judah because it's part of the land of Canaan. But the U.S., I'm telling you, based on prophecy that I've studied and a revelation that God gave me 10 years ago concerning Daniel chapter 8, which I'll read to you tonight, some of it, is that Donald Trump was chosen to protect Israel. He is Israel's protector until the time when it's time for the nations to attack Israel, and then the Lord comes back and saves Israel. But until that time, Donald Trump has been appointed by God, and that's why the enemy hates him. That's why these people hate him so much. Not because these are people that used to love him. They watched The Apprentice. They loved Donald Trump. He was friends with everybody. He was friends with Hollywood. He used to run the Miss Universe pageant. He had casinos. He was, he was on Oprah. And now they all hate his guts. Why? Why do they hate him so much? It's a spiritual thing. it's a spirit, it's demonic, is right. So Donald Trump is God's chosen instrument to protect Israel from what? From nuclear weapons. Israel is not going to be nuked. Israel cannot be nuked. Why? Because Ezekiel 43 verse 7 says that the Messiah will return to Jerusalem and sit on the throne of David in the temple at Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Ezekiel 43:7. In Luke 1, we are told that the Messiah will come and sit on the throne of David, King David, not King Charles, not Queen Victoria, not King Felipe of Spain, not Prince Albert of Monaco, but King David, the Jewish king, the Jewish throne. Jesus is still a Jew, in case you didn't know that. Okay? So if you want to mess with the Jewish people, you're messing with a Jewish Messiah who doesn't like it when people mess with his people. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Trump's going to go back to the Middle East, and he's going to have to take out Iran again. But this time he's going to finish the job. He's going to destroy. You don't think they're enriching nuclear weapons, uranium, quietly right now? You sure they are? They're enriching uranium quietly. They've just launched missiles, long-range missiles. They just test-fired. Why do you think they're test-firing missiles? Why do you think Venezuela is sending them oil? Don't they produce oil? Well, they're sending them more oil because they want them to have more money to fund terrorism. Hallelujah. Okay, so Trump's going to destroy their nuclear weapons. He's going to use American military to destroy the Iranian military, and he's going to bring down their government, and he's going to kill the Ayatollah. Okay? He's going to kill the Ayatollah, and he's going to cut the head off the snake. And when he cuts the head off the snake, then the Abraham Accords, the peace accords in the Middle East, are going to kick into gear. Israel, the stock market in Israel, even during the war in the last 2 years, has gone up 50% a year. Last year and the year before, in 24 and 25, the stock market went up 50%. Just since I left Israel, it's gone up probably another 20-25%. Since I left Israel, the market has gone up in Israel. Everywhere I looked when I was in Israel, there were cranes everywhere, in every town, buildings going up, old buildings being torn down, bigger buildings being built, rich people buying old buildings and building new buildings. They're building high-speed rail from north to south. They've already built rail, high-speed rail from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. They're going to build it from Haifa all the way down to Eilat, which is at the Red Sea, which is about 300 miles of rail. They're building, and unlike California, which has wasted billions of dollars trying to supposedly build a railway from San Francisco to Los Angeles and not built one rail, Israel, when I was there in 2016, was just starting to build their railway. Now I went there, it's already looks like it's been running for 5 or 6 years. The railway that they were building when I was there in 2016 is running like clockwork. They know what they're doing, and they're not wasting their money. So the wealth of the nations is going to come to Israel, and Israel and the Middle East is going to prosper. Not just anyone in the Middle East, but the countries that are friends with Israel and participate in the Abraham Accords are going to prosper for about 3 or 4 years between Donald Trump and the Antichrist. Now I'm going to show you why I say that. There's going to be, after Donald Trump comes the Antichrist, and I'm going to show that to you in the Bible. But I believe there's going to be about a three and a half years of where the Antichrist is developing, increasing in power. He starts out weak with nothing. He's a little horn. He starts out as a little horn, the Bible says, but his power grows. But it's going to take him about 3.5 years to consolidate that power. And during that 3.5 years, the Middle East is going to prosper greatly. Well, America is sinking. The dollar is sinking. I myself have some of my retirement in Israel. I made 10% on my retirement just on currency, because not on stocks, just on the value of currency, because the shekel gained in value and the dollar sank in value, and I made 10%. So did anyone else who's invested there last year. You made 10% on just the currency alone. 10% just because the shekel went up and the dollar went down. Praise God. Anyone who listened to me when I brought the man from Israel to talk about investing 4 years ago, anyone who put their money with him has done well and will do very well. And that's why the Antichrist is going to go to Israel, because he's not interested in the Bible. He's not interested in walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He's interested in money. He wants Israel's resources. Israel's discovering oil. Israel's discovering minerals. Israel's discovering natural gas. Israel's technology. They're the number two technology country in the world. He wants a piece of it. In fact, he wants it all. All right. So what is the Hanukkah story? All right. In a nutshell, here's the Hanukkah story. Now, there's everything in the Bible has a foreshadow or a forerunner. So in 165 BC, there was a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, and he ruled an empire that went from Syria all the way up into southern Turkey, east all the way to Assyria, which is Nineveh, all the way east to Persia, to the Indian border, all the way back to Jordan, parts of Arabia, Israel, and then down to the Egyptian border. He had a vast empire. And what you need to know about this guy, Antiochus, he was a wicked man. He was a Greek, okay? He was a descendant of one of Alexander the Great's generals. And Alexander was a Greek. And so he was the descendant of one of Alexander's four generals who took over Alexander's territory. And so as a Greek, he was very enchanted with Roman. The Romans in 165, when he lived, 168, Rome was at the height of its power. Rome was at the height of its of power. And so he was very fascinated by the Roman culture and Roman religion. And so he spent time in Rome, and he studied and he learned about Roman gods and Roman pagan worship and Roman culture and all these things. And what Rome had a special relationship with Egypt, okay? Rome had a special relationship. Why did Rome have a special relationship with Egypt? Egypt was the Fertile Crescent of the Mediterranean. The Nile River Delta, every spring, would overflow, and the rich minerals that were in the silt from the Nile River would overflow into the fields, and then they would drain, and they would leave the minerals behind. And the land, that the farmland was very rich. The soil was very rich. And it produced the most wonderful wheat and other types of produce that the Egyptians were especially known for producing wheat. In fact, there was a time back then in you know, about before Christ, in the 100 years, 200 years before Christ, when Egypt produced the majority of wheat for the entire Middle East and Europe and that whole area. They produced the majority of the wheat. And Rome wanted what Egypt had. So Rome was courting the Egyptians, okay? And they wanted Egyptian... See, you have to understand something about Rome. Rome did not produce anything. It was a big city with no farms. Maybe it had, you know, people had fruit trees in their backyards, but they didn't have farms. Rome didn't make anything. It just had a million people living in it. And they needed to bring in food to feed all those people. Amen? So the Romans went to Egypt, and they Mark Antony married Cleopatra, the Roman emperor Mark Antony. He married Cleopatra, the Egyptian queen, and so there was this love affair between Rome and Egypt. Egypt wanted Rome's military support, and Rome wanted Egypt's commodities like wheat. Okay. All right, so what happened? So this guy Antiochus, remember the bad guy from Syria who had an empire that stretched to Persia all the way down through Israel and Jordan down to the Egyptian border, decided he wanted to attack Egypt, and he went down there, but the Romans got intervened and said, don't mess with Egypt. And when he was faced with fighting the Egyptians and the Romans together, he backed down. And then he went on his way back to Syria with his tail between his legs. He went and stopped in Jerusalem. Now, up until that point, he had left the Jews alone. But he was a bully. And so he decided, I'm going to take my anger out on the Jews. So he set himself up in the temple of the Jews as God, just like the Antichrist would 2,000 years later, give or take. He set himself up in the temple of Israel, of the Jews, as God. He built idols of Zeus, the lightning god of the Greeks, and he sacrificed a pig on the holy altar. He desecrated the temple. He let the lampstand, you see the light, this light representing the lampstand of the temple, that's called a Hanukkah or a menorah, where the candles, and that he let the lights go out. And by letting the eternal flame of the lampstand go out was a symbol of letting the Holy Spirit depart from the temple because of the paganism and the filth that he brought, and you know, the temple prostitutes and the whoring and all the filth that he brought into the temple. And then not only did he do that, but he sent his soldiers from town to town to humiliate the Jews, and he sent them with idols of Zeus, and he forced the Jews to bow down to these idols. And then he would look for a priest in every town to sacrifice a pig and make the Jews eat pig, swine, which was an unclean animal. It's still unclean. It's not good for you. Tastes good maybe, but it's not a clean animal. It's a scavenger. You know, pigs will eat, I don't know, Joyce, you probably know better than I do about pigs and what they eat. They're pretty dirty, huh? Yeah. So my wife's Aunt Joyce is she grew up on a farm, and I'm sure they had a pig or two, and she knows what pigs ate and what they lived in and how they lived. And anyway, so pigs were considered by God to be, in the Old Testament, to be unclean animals. He made the mistake of going to a town where there was a man named Mattathias. And Mattathias was not going to tolerate eating swine's flesh. He wasn't going to tolerate any of this. So when the Greek soldiers came to his town with the idol and with the pig, and they got a priest to sacrifice, he killed the priest, and he had five sons, led by Judah Maccabee, and his last name wasn't Maccabee, it was his nickname, Judah Maccabee, the hammer. I like to think of him as a wrestler who like would pick guys upside down and hit them on their head, you know, kind of like they do in the wrestling ring, you know, they pick a guy upside down and drop him on his head, the hammer. You know, Judah was he must have been a very strong man, because that was his name, Judah the Hammer. But anyway, Mattathias and his five sons killed all the Syrian soldiers that came to their town of Modin, and they killed the priest, and they started a rebellion, a revolt against the Syrians, and people joined the revolt, and there was a war that lasted 3 years between the tiny Jewish army that grew, this militia, like the American Revolution, you know, this militia that grew, and they fought the mighty Syrian army, Greek army, whatever, and they defeated them 3 years to the day when they desecrated the temple. They defeated them, and they took back the temple, they cleansed it, and the lampstand was out, and there was oil. There was only enough oil in the temple. They found one container of oil, and it was consecrated, and it was only enough to last for one day. But they lit it, and it lasted for 8 days. And so that's what the Jews consider to be the great miracle of Hanukkah, is that the oil lasted 8 days. But if you count the branches on this lampstand that's lit, you notice it has 9 branches, not 8. Amen? It has 9 branches, and the one on the left is a replica of the actual one that was in the temple, in the real one that was there in the temple. And so why does that one have 7 and the one that's lit have 9? Well, I looked it up, and I'm going to tell you the mystery of the menorah, okay? The mystery of the menorah. Think about a timeline of from the beginning of time, creation, whenever, to the end of time. That what is 165 years from the beginning of time to the end? To me, it's just a dot on a piece of paper. It's just a dot on a big timeline. Amen? And so, it's nothing. 168 years, 165 years is nothing. So I looked up the middle candle, you notice, is taller. And that's called the servant. And I taught about it on Saturday. You can go on Facebook and listen to my message about the servant of Joseph. I talked about Joseph and how he went from spoiled brat to servanthood Saturday. And I used that reference of the candle, the servant candle, which is taller than the others, but yet it lights the other candles. It serves the other candles. Amen? And I talked about that on Saturday, so you can go back and listen to that on Facebook or on my website. But here's the thing. So what does that servant candle represent? Well, I'd say there's 7 candles on the original lampstand. If you add one, that's 8. That's 8, okay, and the oil lasted for 8 days. The word for eight in Hebrew is Shemona, and it comes from the root word Shemen. Everybody say Shemen. Shemen means the oil, and the oil of the lampstand was called Shemen Hamishcha. Shemen Hamishcha. Oh no, Shemen Hamishcha is anointing oil. Shemen is the oil of the lampstand. Okay? It's olive oil. All right. And so the number eight is Shemona. It comes from the root word of the oil, the fat. It's the number of the Messiah. It's the number eight. Seven is God's perfect number. Eight is the number of the Messiah. Okay? But then why are there nine branches on the menorah? Well, the Gentiles were about to be grafted in, so I looked up the number nine, and in Christian teaching, the number nine is equated with fruitfulness. And God said he would make the people of Abraham fruitful. He would make them like the stars of the heavens and like the sand on the shore. Amen. And so 168 years, 165 years before the coming of the Messiah, God was prophesying by creating this little holiday called Hanukkah that the Messiah was coming and that the Gentiles were going to be grafted into the olive tree. This represents the olive tree of Israel. And so the nine branch represents the Gentiles, and the eighth branch, the servant, and remember the Messiah, it says that he is a servant. He came to serve. Can somebody look up a verse about Jesus being a servant? I had it in my message yesterday, but I don't have that with me right this moment. If somebody could look up where Jesus said he would be a servant, came to be a servant, just raise your hand if you got it. So the Hanukkah was prophesying this little holiday. And by the way, it's in the New Testament in John 10:22. John 10:22 says Jesus was walking in the portico of Solomon in the court of the Gentiles, which is on the very outer edge of the temple. It's there were columns surrounding the temple, columns, and there was a hallway, and that's where the Gentiles would hang out during, you know, at worship time. And what does it say, Mary? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. The Messiah is the servant. And that middle candle, which is called the Shamash is another word, is the Hebrew word for deacon. It means servant. Praise the Lord. So the middle candle represents Yeshua being added to the olive tree. And then the ninth candle represents the Gentiles being grafted into Israel's olive tree. Glory to God. Okay, so what was I saying? Anybody remember what I was saying before that? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So think about this. This is the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. This little holiday prophesies the coming of the Messiah to deliver Israel from a tyrant. And which tyrant? Okay, so in the Hanukkah story, the tyrant is a guy named Antiochus, and the deliverer is a guy named Judah Maccabee and his militia. In our time, the tyrant is the Antichrist, and the deliverer is the Messiah himself, comes with his army. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, and in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed, and we will be, I don't know how, what time was going to take place, but we're going to be trained as warriors. We're going to be given glorified bodies. We're going to all learn to ride white horses, and we're going to come down with swords, and we're going to kill the enemies of God on earth. And then will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's for another day. But anyhow, that's what the Hanukkah story is foreshadowing, is that just as the Maccabees defeated this pre-Antichrist figure named Antiochus, so Messiah will come and defeat the Antichrist, who sets himself up in God's temple as God, probably builds an idol. Wouldn't be surprised if he sacrifices a pig on the altar, you know. And then Jesus comes and he destroys him. It says that with the flame of his breath or of his mouth, he just burns him up. You know, he destroys him. I can't remember the verse exactly, but I know that's what happens. It's in Revelation, I believe, chapter 20, where it talks about what he does to the Antichrist. But so where are we on God's... So remember the timeline and that little blip in time? We're 165 years with just nothing before. This was God's prophecy that his son was going to come into the world. This was God's prophecy that the Gentiles were going to be grafted in. This is the story that God wanted you to all, everybody to know 165 years before the Messiah came. He wanted you to know that. Amen? And had Christians not been deceived and told that it was the Feast of Dedication, John 10:22, but had they embraced the only new holiday given to believers, Jew and Gentile alike, had they embraced it, then we'd all be of one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We would all be together, celebrating together. We wouldn't have Santa Claus. We wouldn't have elves. I drove through my neighborhood, and I know many of the people who don't believe in Jesus, and they have their reindeer and their Santa Clauses. I know who they are. I know many of the liberals and the people who hate God, but yet they put the lights out. And they put, and you can't tell driving down the street which house is the Christian house and which house is the maybe you can tell if there's a nativity scene, you know, and it says Jesus is the reason for the season, it's Christian house. But mostly you can't tell them apart. The Christians put lights up, the pagans put lights up. The Christians put Santa Claus up, the pagans put Santa Claus up. The Christians put elves up, the pagans put elves up. I go to a place where I get back therapy. They've got elves all over the place in there, and they're called, they go to church, and they've got elves, and they've got all these little, you know, reindeer, and you know, and I, you know, I went for treatment, and so there was this really bizarre evil looking elf in the room where I get my therapy, so I turned him around. And they left. They, you know, the funny thing is, since I did that, they haven't put me in that room anymore. I think they realized, they said, it must have been Joe that did that, and so we'll just put him in a room that's neutral. I'm not into it because I know where these things came from. I know where these traditions, the Christmas tree, the Yule is a pagan god. Odin, if you want to see Santa Claus, look up Odin, O-D-E-N, or O-D-I-N, Odin. And look up Odin, you'll see the real Santa Claus. You want to see what an elf looks like? Look up a Krampus parade, K-R-A-M-P-U-S, on YouTube. Look up Krampus parades. They have them in America. They started in Europe and Austria and Nordic countries and Germanic countries. And see what elves really look like. You'll be quite surprised. And they take little children who are naughty, and they put them in cages, and they scream and cry because these monsters is what they are. They have faces like they're demons, and they grab the children and they lock them up in cages, and they take the women, especially the pretty ones, and they take the women, and it doesn't matter if they're married, they just grab them. And then Santa Claus always comes along in the parade somewhere, and all of this stuff is pagan, you know, and people swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You know, it's mind-boggling to me that people don't stop and think, what has this got to do with Jesus? You know, what has this got to do with my Christian faith? What is this? You know, don't tell me that the red stripes on the candy cane are the blood of Jesus. I don't buy it. You know, it just doesn't do it for me. You know, you're not going to convince me. Advent and is. It's a pagan custom. It's a Catholic custom, and the wreath represents the woman's sexual organ, and the tree represents the male organ, it's just amazing. The whole thing is mind-boggling to me, you know. I'm not here to preach against Christmas or anything. I'm just telling you the truth. And that's not what my intention was. So anyway, I think I've shared enough for tonight about Hanukkah and how it's a precursor to the coming of the Antichrist. I just want to share one last thing. In Daniel 8, remember I said Trump, there's a war in Daniel 8. There's a war against Iran, against Persia, and it's in the end of days. And there's a country from the west, and it's represented. Daniel has a vision of a one-horned goat, and Persia is represented as a two-horned ram, and the ram is bucking wildly, and it says Persia is the ram, Iran is Persia. And it says, I saw the ram in Daniel 8:4 pushing westward, northward, and southward so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there anyone that could deliver his hand, but he did according to his will, and he became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west. The west, that's us. See, the center of the compass is Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the middle of the center of the compass. And so anything west of Jerusalem, Europe, America, that's the west. South would be Africa. North would be Russia and the Kazakhstans and the Uzbekistans and Ukraine and all that. That's the north. And then east would be Iran and Babylon and India and China and Asia. That would be the east, okay? Jerusalem is the center of the compass, biblically. So in verse 5, and as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. Wow.
He was flying across the world without touching the ground. Maybe that was Santa Claus. And the goat had notable horn between his eyes. Well, Revelation 17:12 tells us that a horn represents a king. So this king was, it's not Santa Claus, but he was flying across the whole earth without touching the ground, just like Donald Trump's B-2 bombers flew without touching the ground. They flew to Iran and bombed it last summer, and then they turned around, got refueled in the air, and went back to America without touching the ground. Remember, Daniel didn't know what an airplane was. He'd never seen one. He didn't know what to call it. Verse 6, then he came to the ram, this is the goat, that had one, and the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river in Persia, and ran at him with furious power. So the ram from the west, which originally it says it's Greece, but Greece couldn't destroy Iran. This is a prophecy of the end times. If you read the chapter, you'll see the angel Gabriel says three times, Daniel, this is not for now, but this is for the time of the Antichrist, the time of the indignation, the time when the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple. He says twice, this is the time for the time of the end of time is what he says. Twice, the la'et ketz in Hebrew. So this is a prophecy of an end time war with Iran and not Alexander the Great. And then it says verse 6, then he came to the ram, this is the goat with one horn, that had two, he come to the ram with two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him. He attacked the ram and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. So this power from the west flew over the whole earth in the dream, in the vision. It's a goat with a horn, you know, one horn. I believe that horn is goat is Donald Trump and his military. This is an end time prophecy. Now, what you got to know about Alexander the Great is that he didn't defeat the Persians. The Persians defeated the Persians. They killed their own leader. See, this is telling you that this power, this goat flew over the whole earth and smashed into the ram with two horns, Medo-Persia, representing two kings. Oh, and by the way, in Alexander's time, there was only one king. Amen? In Alexander's time, there was only one king, not two. And so, and Alexander didn't kill the king. The king ran away into the hills, and his own men killed him, not the king from the west. See, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit together. It has to be something. It has to be a modern prophecy. And then it says, after he defeated the ram, Persia, says, therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And then in verse 22, the angel Gabriel says, as for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of the nation, but not with its power. I've said this many times. America is going to, after Trump defeats Iran, his government is going to somehow come to an end, and he's going to be the last president of the United States. I don't know how. I just believe that's what God has shown me, and time will tell if I'm right. But the key thing is that it says he magnifies himself when he became very strong. He magnified himself greatly. Then his horn was broken, which means that he dies. His power because the horn represents his military and his government is broken, and in place four countries. So America is going to be divided up into four weaker nations. Daniel 8:8 and Daniel 8:22 talk about it. And then it says, and out of one of those four nations came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land, Israel. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. And he exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the day. Now, wait a second. That's Jesus. If this is talking about, this is traditional teachers say that this is the little horn is Antiochus, the bad guy in the Hanukkah story. But he didn't know Jesus. He lived 165 years before Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was. But this guy exalts himself as high as the prince of the host, as though he knows him. And by his, the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down because of transgression. An army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking to another. So this whole vision is really talking about this end time war, and with it's talking more about the Antichrist, not Alexander. But I'm going to leave us there and just say that America's days are numbered, friends, and the dollar is going to continue to collapse. It's gone down from in value from 107 down to 92, which is, I don't know what that means because I'm not an expert in currency. I just know it's not good. I just know that when the dollar was at 107 and now it's 92, it means that compared to other currencies, our currency is weak, is getting weaker. Our current, and that's why your prices are going up. Our currency is weaker, and therefore we can't buy as much with it, okay? And that's why you're getting less for your dollar. And that's why food costs you more. It's not Donald Trump's fault. This has been happening for he's trying to fix it, but I don't think he's going, you know, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And as great as Donald Trump is, I don't think that he can fix the broken Humpty Dumpty of America. And a nation divided against itself will not stand. Please rise, I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha, Vayasem lecha shalom. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace, Shabbat shalom. And it's not even Shabbat. Happy Hanukkah. Hallelujah. I'm so used to saying Shabbat shalom. Happy Hanukkah. Praise the Lord.